Hello and welcome to The Garden Show. My name's Kitty LaBounty.
I'm Molly Kabler and we're live in the studio this morning. Delighted to be here on a gorgeous day. What a nice day in your garden already.
I know. I kind of wish I'd gotten up at like 6 so I could go into my garden and work for a couple of hours before coming here. But I am a little bit of a slug, so I am looking forward to working in the garden the rest of the day, which looks quite gorgeous.
And there's lots to do in the garden, including eat things. And mm-hmm. we want to encourage you to really be tracking on the things that are maturing rapidly this year and not miss those tender, fresh things.
Indeedy. So, yeah, there's many of you probably have peas. There's lettuce, of course, and spinach and radishes going. And another kind of I guess it's kind of a specialty crop just because not everybody grows it is the garlic. So I'm not talking about digging up your garlic quite yet, but I'm talking about cutting off the top part of the garlic where the flower heads are starting to form. They often look like beautiful little curlicues on the top of the stem. And I like to cut those off. My garlic doesn't need to form flowers. And those scapes, that I'll call them, make really good items to cook.
Great in a stir fry. They make a fantastic pesto. They're delicious. The other thing in my yard that's really going great guns are my herbs. And if you're interested in harvesting herbs and drying them, you want to do that before they're really up and blooming. And they tend to get a little bit harsh sometimes if they really get on. So right now, before they bloom, is your ideal time to cut your oreganos, potentially sage, thyme. This would be a great time to gather some of those things and dry them for next season. And that seems like it's so far away because it's still June and we're just barely past solstice. But mine are really ahead of the game, and so you don't want to let them go too far. They're edible, of course, all season, but I tend to use the newer growth later on. It seems to be a little more flavorful. So if you're planning to harvest herbs and dry them, this would be a great time to be checking your own.
Yeah, I was thinking with the garlic, I was looking at it today going, it's big enough and it looks like it's really well developed that I'm going to actually probably try and harvest it either mid or the end of July if I can. You want to harvest garlic, you know, while there's still a few green leaves up at the top, because that means that the bulb is actually nicely covered. If you wait till like all of the top is dead, then usually the garlic cloves are starting to get exposed and they won't store quite as well. It's not like they won't store, but they'll store better if you leave them with that kind of covering intact. So I'm going to watch mine pretty closely, but the first thing I'm going to do to them right away actually is cut those curlicues off and just start using them in the kitchen.
So the thing about garlic is if you planted your garlic this spring, yours are probably not to the point of the ones that Kitty and I have going, because we planted ours last fall. And I know I've in the past waited too long to harvest my garlic and it split apart a little bit. And it's completely edible, but as Kitty says, it's not as appealing to look at, number one, and potentially doesn't store as well. And since our season is ahead for most people's yards, it'll be even sooner than usual.
And the cool part, so once you harvest your garlic, you can actually plant more things there. So you can plant some of the greens that can, especially kale, let's say, and some of the spinaches and some of the lettuces that will last a little bit longer, you know, in the fall. So make use of that garlic bed once you dig the spot.
Certainly kale. I mean, kale is just pretty miraculous about how easy it is to grow and how well it will survive almost anything that our climate seems to throw at it. So you could be starting more kale now, unless you're drowning in it already.
Yes, indeedy. Yeah. So speaking of planting, a lot of people are like, oh no, it's too late to plant anything. We're kind of done. Your enthusiasm might be waning. Usually people start out super enthusiastic in the early spring. They're like ready to go, and they're like working as close to 24/7 as they can in their garden. And then come June, it's like, really? Okay, I'm done. But you don't have to be done. You can actually replant your lettuce. You can replant some carrots, spinach, even the cole crops. I'm ready to pull out my first harvest of broccoli, and I'm just going to put new seeds back in there. Because we have plenty of time to get a whole nother crop of broccoli.
Yet this season, arugula is another one. I think a lot of people like arugula, and some don't like it as spicy as it can get if it gets to be pretty big. So you can eat those arugulas and start over again with them, and you should have enough time for another crop. Cilantro is another one, potentially dill. Those are a couple of herbs mm-hmm. that get up and going. I know I just planted some parsley starts, not seeds, but I had a few starts there, and so that would be great.
Yeah, my parsley that overwintered last year is like shrub size. You know, it has some flower stalks on it, and I was going to leave probably a few of them to see if I could actually get seeds. Now, I don't know what the status of those seeds is going to be, but I thought, it might be kind of interesting to get some parsley seeds. But it's definitely, I have small starts to go in, you know, in another spot so that I'll have like this constant pile of parsley.
Speaking of going to seed, if you leave a kale or two, they're excellent at self-seeding, and you really don't even have to plant them. You might want to plant them in a specific place, but you don't even have to buy them sometimes if you are growing some of the ones that, well, we in the garden, the flower garden, we call it naturalizing.
Yes,
so it's
indeed.
Sort of naturalized kale. But yeah, just really encourage you to look at what you're growing and check it. Eat your thinnings. Make sure your root crops have plenty of shoulder room. Check closely on your radishes and your herbs. How about potatoes? How are your potatoes doing?
My potatoes are doing just fine. I just finally remembered to hill them again. I was like, it didn't seem like they were big enough to hill. And then all of a sudden I was gone for 5 days and I was like, oh my goodness. So I pushed a bunch of soil over them. And remember, my strategy with potatoes is I kind of dig a trench, push them down into the trench, pull all the dirt. I actually have containers full of dirt that came out of the bed. And the first hilling I can usually push in from the sides, and the subsequent ones I'm going to need to dig into my barrels for soil. But I'll just keep hilling them, you know, until I run out of soil, basically, is what happens.
So the chores that we talk about are perennial, and this is a great time to be on them. And that would be, of course, weeding and deadheading. There's lots of little weed seeds still germinating in and around the things that you've planted. And it's a great time to try and keep ahead of those so that they don't bloom. That's how you ultimately have fewer weeds. The buttercups are doing their thing and sending the runners in everywhere you've already peeled them back. So it'd be great to take a look at those and pull them out as well.
I consider those creeping buttercups to be like a nonstop process in my yard. I feel like I'll always be pulling them there, but you know, and I should also be grateful. They are really my main weed. I don't have, knock on wood, horsetail and other things to deal with, but buttercups are pretty stealthy and super strong. I'm just always pulling them, trying to get them out of certain areas because they do kind of form this nice, ground cover, I should say, a very dense ground cover can be kind of a pain and can really sort of shut things out. So I encourage you to keep pulling them. And even if you know you didn't get all the roots, if you at least got a bunch of the leaves, you've at least cut off some of its nutrient supply. So you're not losing anything by removing the leaves.
The other thing I've been doing is double checking for the dying, withering foliage from my spring bulbs. My tulips are finally getting to be really done, and so they are just look like those brown stalks. I often find a twist. If I give it a twist, that'll release it from the bulb, and then that bulb stays down in the ground. You don't need to dig them up and replant them, but a twist will break that dead tulip stalk away from the bulb, and you can take those out and compost them, and your garden will look much the better for it. And one of the things I think this time of year is to look at your garden and remember that you're in charge. And I think it's easy to forget that because we're so delighted with the lushness and how everything's coming on. And then 2 or 3 weeks from now, maybe a month, you're going to go, oh my gosh, everything is taking over and I can't even get in there. So this is a great time to sort of anticipate that. Remember that you're in charge and think about, will your garden look better with it or without it? And if there's anything that isn't doing well and your garden's pretty full, take that out right now. If it looks like it's sickly or you can't quite understand why it doesn't do well mm-hmm. or why it isn't doing well, it's that, will my garden look better with it or without it? And if you can even hedge toward without it, take it out.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So every year, this is my kind of example that almost fits. I have forget-me-nots that grow all over. They self-seed. They're naturalized in my garden. And when they come out, when all the daffodils are blooming, they are absolutely gorgeous. You know, that blue really sets off a lot of the yellows in there. But then they start fading out. So I have to start ripping them up. And I pretty much remove almost all of I remove all of the foliage and quite a few of the new plants that are coming on, just to try and kind of keep things under control. I love them, but I don't want to have a garden that's only forget-me-nots.
Right. I'm doing the same thing. I'm pulling them all out. And there's a few little bits of blue here and there, so mm-hmm. you think maybe you should leave them. But in fact, you don't want to leave them. This is the time because they're really seeding. The other one that's coming on in that department are the foxglove. They're absolutely gorgeous mm-hmm. right now. And so enjoy them, but in a couple more weeks when they're done, cut those foxglove stalks and carefully get them out of your garden because literally they make even more seeds than forget-me-nots and you'll be battling them. I love them. I think they're worth growing, but you really want to manage the seed production that the foxgloves do.
Yeah, I've been trying to when I cut them, toss them down in an area where I don't care if they go wild. And just so someday the bank below my garden is going to be a mixture of roses, probably forget-me-nots and foxgloves if I have my way with it, just by cutting them and tossing them. And even when I feel like I'm being pretty draconian, I'm ripping out foxgloves all over the place. I have tons of them this year and they really do. They're just gorgeous. They're statuesque and you don't have to do a darn thing to them. You know, there's no staking required, no nothing on these guys. And I'm liking this flower. I mean, it's a non-native, you know, garden plant that will, I wouldn't call it invasive because it doesn't really take off, you know, outside of your garden maybe or outside the road system, but oh, man, it's gorgeous. Keep it going, but keep it under control. You are, in fact, in charge.
So one of the other things I'm in charge of, but I'm almost overwhelmed, is taking off the rhododendron flowers.
Indeed.
So yes, a couple weeks ago, my yard was pretty gorgeous and gaudy, and now I have a million fading rhododendron flowers. And I like to snap off each one of those little clusters of seed pods because your rhododendrons, one, they look better without it. You really get to see that fresh green foliage and the beautiful plant. And two, the bloom next year will probably be much more consistent if you take those off. You need to be careful. If you wait too long, the new shoots are coming up and it can be difficult to break them off without breaking off those new leaf shoots. And if you break off a few of those, it's no big deal, but it can take quite a bit of time if you have several like I do to take all of those off. I know for me it's worth it, but it's a lot of work.
I can't reach all of mine, so I kind of approach it one day I'll pick for I don't know, half an hour and then I'll walk away and get at it again. But I was making faces at Molly when she was talking about it because I use clippers because the stickiness of those things makes me kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies is all I got to say. And most things don't, but that one does. So I usually use a pair of clippers in one hand and a glove in the other and I'm just pulling. But I can't quite reach all of mine. For one of my rhododendrons, I have to put a stepladder out by it to get as many of them as I can. And I never get all of them, but I do try to get the ones that are the most visible that kind of impair my viewing of my rhododendron.
So rhododendrons are done blooming. It's not a bad time to prune a rhododendron for shape. That would be now. Because it won't be long before they're setting their buds for next year, and you definitely don't want to prune the flower buds away. They're probably the plant that sets their buds the earliest in our climate for the following year. Also, the lilacs are finishing up, and this would be time to do any shaping of your lilac bush if you need to trim it up, if something's looking scraggly or it's reaching out into a pathway or a walkway. And it won't be long before it's time to fertilize those, but probably not quite yet.
Probably. I'm hoping for July. No doubt it will be early August when I actually get around to fertilizing my rhododendrons. And our philosophy is, both of us agree, is that it's easiest just to buy the evergreen fertilizer that's meant for rhododendrons and azaleas. And I think you can get ones that say they're organic. I'm not entirely sure what that means for rhododendron food, but you can definitely go that route. But I definitely like to feed them because, and I feel like I'm rewarded from that. I don't give them more than directed, but man, I get just beautiful blooms every year.
One of the things I did want to mention is when you're taking off all those flowers, what to do with them. You don't need to haul them away. They're perfect to throw inside the rhododendron bush and help rebuild the soil there rather than, you know, putting them in something and composting or something. That just throw them right underneath your rhododendron and they'll be perfect. Rhododendrons are shallow-rooted creatures and they don't like a heavy soil or heavy application of mulch, but the natural leaves and flowers are perfect.
And then if you have a day that's not bright sunny, I would start thinking about some of those spring bloomers, like some of the primroses and all that. If they're starting to look like they're really, you know, over full and kind of forming this clump, and especially if the clump's starting to look dead in the center, dig them up and divide them. And I don't like to do it on the sunniest of days unless you do it like in the morning or in the evening, because the sun actually dries them out. I mean, I know it's a really nice time for us to work, but that, I guess this week, what do we have? Today's supposed to be sunny, tomorrow's supposed to be sunny, and then it's supposed to be overcast the next day. The overcast day is probably my favorite day to do chores like that because the soil's dry. You know, it's drier on the surface, but your plants are going to not be quite as tortured by the sun and perhaps northwest wind that's going to start blowing.
So that brings me to watering. Anytime you dig something up and divide it, or if you planted a large perennial or a shrub, believe it or not, if we have a stretch of a handful of sunny days, they're going to need water almost the whole season. So if you move something soon, or if you planted a tree or shrub and we have a stretch of sunny weather, go ahead and water them. Even though, you know, we've had good rain recently, we don't really think about watering that much, but your bigger plants and shrubs are going to persist much better if you keep them watered.
Yep, I don't water too much because I'm a little bit on the lazy side, but I do make sure I water my pots and all my newly transplanted things, whatever size they are. So we hope to be with you next week for The Garden Show. This is Kitty LaBounty.
And I'm Molly Kabler. Enjoy your garden. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.